Starting the recording. Okay. On the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Master Sergeant Simon Ryder, Mr. Carl Edwards, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. David Brown, A1C Caitlin DeHart, Mr. Bobby Carter, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Jacob Butcher, Ms. Erin Calwara, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. Zach Haas, Mr. Henry Cole. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Michael Hawkins, Motorola.
Thank you. And President Anchorage, I know Mr. Paul Fussy. Is there anybody else present in Anchorage?
Nick Panister.
David Reed.
Jim Woodall.
Scott Stormo.
And that completes the roll call.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sherry. At this point, are there any new guests or new members that would like to announce themselves? If not, moving on to the first agenda item, which is the review and approval of the April meeting minutes. Hopefully,
hey, sorry, it's Rob Reddington, just chiming in.
Thank you. Hopefully, everybody had a chance to read the meeting minutes. At this point, I entertain a motion to approve.
Good afternoon, Kyle Green here. Motion to approve.
Thank you, Kyle. And may I have a second, please?
It's Henry Cole, a second.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any updates, changes, comments, or questions regarding the meeting minutes? Hearing none, we approve the meeting minutes. Moving on to the next agenda item is the review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, are there any updates?
Sorry. Yes, there are. There are. We have one change. It's going to be the J-Bear primary position is currently vacant, waiting to be an appointee. And I did change the end dates for OP 12 and 13 as they had passed. And I pushed those out to the end of June. Hopefully they will be able to complete that work by then.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Next item is the action item list. And again, Sherry, are there any updates to the action item list?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Hey, John, this is Scott. I just want to bring up a couple of potential active operational issues that we might want to put on here. We have had power lines to two sites that have failed. One is Henny Range. We are currently, lucky enough in that case that there's other people at the top of the mountain that had a power line, so we've been able to get power from them for the moment so we can get ours repaired. And then Saddle Mountain, and the unfortunate news at the moment seems like there's no parts available to try to fix that. It would take at least a year probably to get the parts, so we were trying to figure out what a plan B is. Or that site is going to be going up and down a lot over the next year as we try to run out the generators. So I think that's the type of thing I think we should probably put on the add to the operational issues.
Yep, concur. Thank you very much for the update, Scott. Any details of either of those two sites, and what are the areas impacted?
Well, one's Henny Range, and that's over Cordova, and currently we're getting power from somebody else. So we expect to be in good shape there until we can get our power line repaired. So the Saddle Mountain, there is not another option for the moment. So if we lose that, it will have some coverage impact in the June area, but there are three other sites down there that probably have some level of overlapping coverage, so it won't be a complete blackout to the area. But the other issue is there are other people kind of co-located up at that site. The FAA has equipment. I'm not entirely sure what its purpose is, but I believe it has something to do with helping airplanes take off and land. So that's probably not a good thing if that doesn't work. And the Juneau Police Department's radio system is up there as well. So lots of impacts if that site is down.
Thank you very much. We haven't gotten to Scott's update yet, but are there any questions on these particular issues? So Sherry, will you document those for the operational issues list?
I will, and I'll have them added for the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rockwell?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Kyle Green here. I'd like to ask, is there going to be an update today about the Birchill Master Site? I see that target date closeout here is for the end of May.
And who can answer that? Would that be Nick or Scott?
I haven't heard anything yet. Well, it's been the Army, and I'm not sure what. Sergeant Ryder?
This is Master Sergeant Ryder. I don't have any updates at this current moment in time, but I will gather that information and back brief at the next meeting.
You could send out an email to Sherry, and then Sherry could publish that to the members. That'd be a better idea, if possible.
Yes, sir. I will do that.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And moving on to the action item list.
Yes. Item number one was a carryover from the February meeting, and it is now closed. And item number two, Paul will address.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yes. Thank you, right. Mr. Chair. So action item number two. Nick and I were working on this at the request of Fire Marshal Mr. Green. The Genesis software can only produce a report for the entire system and not zone specific. We've attempted to run different types of reports for zone two using different algorithms. It actually exceeded the 1 million maximum lines for Excel, and the file size quit at 20 megabytes when it stopped calculating. We talked to Lori with Genesis trying to do that, but the way that it's set up, it uses different algorithms for system-wide reporting when we do our monthly, but trying to break it down to towers or specific zones, that way the algorithm is set up. It doesn't exclude the raw data. It's just the way that the system is set up. So Nick has talked to Lori about that, but at this time we cannot produce a specific zone report like we do for system-wide. So at this time we're working with Genesis. They're looking at different algorithms, but at this point the software is just not able to produce the requested report for Mr. Green.
Kyle, do you have any questions regarding item number two?
Kyle Green here. Thank you for the update. That's unfortunate. I can appreciate the challenge with the software. So so I'm understanding, though, the Genesis folks are looking into this possibility further.
Mr. Green, this is Nick Bansack. So when I talked to Lori, I asked her to put in a feature request from that, and she came back to me basically saying that she will put it in, but it could take anywhere from a couple days to a couple years before that actually gets implemented, and she's not entirely sure. All she can really do is just put in the request.
Okay, and is there any benefit of additional feedback from the user council, like individual members, to request that feature?
Mr. Green, this is Paul Hussey. It wouldn't hurt. We can forward that up to Lori over at Genesis.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll perhaps draft something and will encourage my fellow user council members to consider the same, so we have the opportunity for more detailed reports for our constituents. Sometimes with system softwares, it's not my first RMS system I've dealt with, but the more people saying like, hey, we really are very interested in this, the more encouragement it provides their development team to follow through. So I'll look forward to either receiving that contact information or drafting something to send to Sherry to forward on, and we'll look forward to the future of hopefully getting more detailed metrics. Appreciate the time.
If we could just write up what we do, we can compile all the emails and send it over to Lori at Genesis. But Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I would make a recommendation closing out this action until maybe the software is able to produce a requested report. And then we get everything from Mr. Green and other user members, we can send it over to Genesis and see what they say for feedback.
I guess I'm okay with closing it out, but I don't want to forget it, right? I don't want us to not remind Genesis every few months that, you know, we would like to have additional metrics or data in the system. And so as long as, Paul, we're able to, and this is to Nick as well, that we're able to, you know, keep this on the burner, I'm okay with programmatically just, you know, closing this item out on the action item list. Also, just a note, Kyle, I have been able to, you know, receive, you know, slice of time data and then do my own metrics, but it's very cumbersome in Excel. And it is not repeatable unless I, again, you know, keep repeating the same level of effort. And that was for a legislative request. And so I, too, sponsor your request to see if we can get, you know, better data and more detailed data. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Well,
we should move on now, to the next agenda item, which is the Operations Management Office. And I turn the meeting over to Mr. Fussey. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we'll start out with antennas, repairs, and replacements. So Esther Dome was repaired last week. Black Rapids, the road was finally accessed for the snow. We were able to plow the road out, and the Black Rapids was returned to service on April 26th. We're still waiting to for the road to clear over by Nanana. It's operational, but the antenna is at a slight angle. So we're just waiting to clear out that road for now. Switching over to training and outreach. Mr. Nelson is working on a training video for portables. We are continuing to reach out and talk with our members regarding TDMA upgrades and tower coverage. And we're also stressing when you get new TDMA radios and they're up and running, please, please take and file a subscriber request to remove your old FDMA portables and mobiles. That way we're opening up the system and then you're not running out of numbers also. I attended the monthly APO meeting. They had their statewide meeting yesterday. And tomorrow I will be attending the monthly Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. And then I've also been reaching out to ACOP to sit on their meetings to talk about the ALMR system, TDMA upgrades. And then later on this month, the Alaska Search and Rescue Association will have their monthly membership meeting. And I'll be discussing radios on that one also. Before we go to document review, are there any questions on the two subjects I just talked about?
I just want to comment while we're talking about the antenna repairs. There's a couple more that have been done down in the Kenai Peninsula area. Kenai Beacon was one. Sterling was the other. And they're working, I think, on Anchor today. But I wanted to bring up something that, and I only heard, so I'm not exactly sure what happened. But when one of the sites was down for the 4 to 6 hours, there was an agency who had, I don't know if it was all their radios or many of their radios, but they were programmed to lock to that site. So they were only using that site, which meant they were out of business while that site was offline because their radios wouldn't go on to another site. So not sure why that would have been done, but it's not the first time in the 10 years that I've been here that we've had issues that was discovered people's radios were programmed to prefer sites or lock sites. And it's just something to kind of pay attention to. If your radios are programmed that way, make sure there's a very good reason to do that, because it, on a, you know, a statewide system, you're limiting your abilities if you do stuff like that. So that was all I wanted to add.
Hearing nothing further, I'll move on to the April documents review. The employee termination policy and procedure has been updated. Facility security penetration, emergency operation, system change request management, outage reporting policy and procedure, and membership agreements were all updated. Moving over to the April metrics. We'll be starting out with the monthly group and individual calls, as you can see on the screen. So we had 1.4 million calls, down 200,000 from last month, at about 200,000 from last year at this time. Push to talks were 2.3 million. That's down about 350,000 from last month, on about 250,000 from last year at this time. Busy, 365, down 1,200 from last month. As remember in the last meeting when I talked about, they had a big exercise up north, which attributed to that. And up 115 from last year at this time. Monthly sites below 9, we had 10. And then these are the sites below 3.9s here. The Black Rapids, I mentioned earlier, T1 card, we had to wait and get access through the road. A lot of drifts going through there. We have some PMIs going through and some antennas that were repaired through there. On our website, we had 311 sessions, 913 page reviews. So we're still pretty good on that one, putting out our tweets and updating the website as we go through there, putting in different hyperlinks through there. Thanks to Sherry on that one. Moving on to the other items. We did have a Starlink demo after our last meeting. I did mention at the executive council meeting, whoever appointed, went to that one. But on 18 April, FEMA Region 10 hosted a Starlink demonstration at their disaster response support facility. It included the use of the apps, antennas, power sources, and routers. So it was very interesting and what was at the demonstration. Attended the Interface Anchored Expo on 27 April with other entities. This is the second one of the year, held in 11 cities throughout. We had 35 vendors at the event. They did a 3 seminar room set up for speakers and demonstrations. It was a downtown Anchorage here at the Denina Center. Some of the topics that were discussed and at different speakers were data storage, infrastructure, unified communications, information security, data center technology, and strategic management and others. So very informative for there. So
That's all I have, Mr. Chair, for any questions.
Thank you very much, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Pussy? Hearing none, we can move on to the System Management Office overview, and I turn it over to Nick.
Thank you, John. Paul pretty much hit up everything that I would have mentioned to you. There was a one issue that we did get resolved for Zone 2 up north, where the link for the over-the-air rekeying kind of took a hit and essentially went down, where it was not able to rekey just for Zone 2. But between myself and Andy, we got that back up and operational in a pretty quick fashion. So besides that, I've got nothing else to add.
Thank you very much, Nick. Are there any questions for the for Nick or the System Management Office? All right. After that brief update, we'll go to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. And we can start out with State of Alaska. Mr. Stormo?
Just a quick update on the status of the state's upgrade project. There's really no big changes to it. Still having the core routers coming in May, getting installed, which kind of is the initial effort of us being able to migrate over to Ethernet services out to our various sites. June is still on schedule to have the Smart Connect feature installed, configured. It may be turned right back off when it's done if we don't have FedRAMP approval yet. But haven't heard anything saying that's not going to happen. And like I think I mentioned last time, it's through the process to where it should happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Seemed like it made it through the hard part. Other than that, I do not have anything else to add unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Scott? Hearing none, we can go to DOD, and I turn it over to Mr. Woodall. Tim?
Good afternoon. We had some discussions about the router that would be used with the microwave and whether that router needed to be BIPS compliant or not. The authorizing official for the authority to operate on the system made the decision that it did not need to be BIPS compliant, meaning that we could be standardized with the routers that were being used of the state's microwave, which we should be. So for the DOD side of the house on the procurement by Motorola, they were instructed to buy the standard, the same standard as they're supplying for the state microwave sites. With regard to the authority to operate, it's in the final stage. It's at the authorization official for review. That should be signed, and then we'll be part of the continuous monitoring process. It'll be a three-year ATO with continuous monitoring, meaning we'll do one-third of the system every year to in terms of control assessment and SIGs and other responsibility items. With regard to the upgrade, just in case you're asked, whatever they're doing to the state side of the system, they should be doing the same to the DOD side of the system. It is a single system, one system, shared infrastructure, so they have to match. So if you're hearing anything about something being different, please run that to ground through the operations management office back to Scott or myself so that we can try to work that out so we don't end up with some incompatibilities in the system. That's all I have, unless anyone has any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Woodall. Any questions for Tim? Hearing none, we can go to the user council representative updates. We can start with SOA. Is there anybody from DOT that would like to make any comments?
This is Henry Cole for DOT. I've got nothing to add at this time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cole. From DPS, I don't have any updates either. We are working through the budget cycle right now. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some budget for LMR, but until the legislators make the final decision, we're still on hold. How about DOD components, U.S. Army installations, or JMIR? Mileson?
This is Chris from Mileson. I have nothing to say.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Federal non-DOD from DOJ or DOI or all others?
Yes, this is David Brown. Nothing to share.
Thank you, sir.
This is Rob Reddington and with DOI, Fish and Wildlife Service. I don't have anything today either.
Thank you. And the municipal components, either North or Central?
Keith Berry in North, nothing to add today.
Thank you, Chief. And how about Southeast? Aaron, anything to add from Southeast?
Good afternoon. We are a couple years into a project with Motorola to connect to ALMR, and we are having trouble. And the biggest issue is our connectivity back to ALMR in Anchorage. So working through the issues at Saddle Mountain, those are not making us happy with the power issues up there. It's our primary high site for radio, for voice and data. So we're looking forward to working with everybody to get some kind of resolution there.
Thank you, Aaron. And again, feel free to reach out to any of your people that are on the system for suggestions, advice, and same thing with me and Scott and Nick and us. So, you know, we support you, and it does get frustrating.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. We can move on to new business. Is there any new business that someone would like to bring up? Before I ask for a move to adjourn, our next meetings are scheduled for June 7th and July 5th. At this point, I'd like to, you know, open the floor for any comments or questions from anybody involved. Mr. Richter, let me put you on the spot. You usually have some good advice. Anything for today?
The one unusual thing that came through was notice from CISA to all our CISA employees that Apple released a special iOS security-related update for anybody using an iPhone or an iPad, and it's mandatory for all CISA people, and it's sure a good idea for anybody else. It's a very fast update, at least when I did it, but it is an unusual approach by Apple, and it's because there is a known exploit out there that they're trying to help people guard against.
Thank you, Bruce, for the information. All right, anything else from anybody else? If not, I would entertain a move to adjourn.
So moved, Keith Berrien.
Thank you. And this is John Rockball, seconded. We are adjourned. Are there any, there's no presentation after this, right, Paul?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to get one set up for next month.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody.